right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you for joining us. Another episode of Catching Up with Jacob. Jacob, you're on the East Coast today. How are you?
I'm in New York, and I am holding on to Jesus, waiting for him to get back.
Amen. You know, it comes to a point where that's all we have. Who have I in heaven but you? And on earth, there's no one I desire, said the psalmist. Amen to that, Jacob. David Lister, you are not in New York. You're on the other side. You're in the Philippines.
Yeah, I'm past you a couple miles there in the Philippines, in Cebu, Philippines, in my little apartment here. They're not very big. So it's tough over here on people, the average person. Inflation is killing people everywhere. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pray for the people, the Philippines, Thailand, where we go.
All right. Good job. Thank you, David. And Davey, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Thanks. Good to be here.
All right. And you're back. You're, well, let's say you're back home. You are home. And someone who's not home is Jay. Jay, you're on the East Coast. I guess same time as Jacob, but just further south. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Coming live from Kingston, Jamaica.
All right. Very good. Praise the Lord. We'll come back to you in a moment, Jay. Just wanted to greet everyone and welcome in the name of the Lord those who are watching live, those who will watch later. You're watching Catching Up, and it's our way of notifying everyone what's gone in the world from a biblical perspective and giving you the scriptures and what the scripture has to say about the world. You know, it's we have to understand what's going on in the world through the lenses of scripture, what's going on in the world and what God has to say about it, because that's the most important person, what God has to say about it. We're on different platforms, including Rumble, Memorial TV. We're even on Twitter and Facebook and Rumble, of course. It lets us have quite a bit of freedom at this point. And with all the censoring going on in the world, I would imagine that, there's going to be slim pickings for a while. So hang on to the platforms that actually allow you to do this. And we thank the Lord for the ones who have done it and praise God for the ministry that the Lord has given us. Jacob, you're in New York. You're going to be speaking this weekend in New York and Baltimore. Any announcements on that?
Church of the Open Door tomorrow, Saturday at 7 p.m. In East Greenwich Village on 3rd Avenue and 7th Street with Pastor Dave Rossetto. We shall be there with bells on tomorrow night. We'll be looking at Striking the Arrows. That's tomorrow, Striking the Arrows, tomorrow in New York. Sunday afternoon in Baltimore, 3:30 p.m., also at the Church of the Open Door in Baltimore, another Moriel affiliate. Be there with Brother Collins and with Jerry DiMatteo. We shall be there 3:30 in Baltimore. The following week, we are in the Los Angeles area at Christian Church of DeVore with Pastor Marco Quintana. I'll let Marco announce that one. And from there, we're on to Maui to Pastor Rob Finberg in Upcountry Christian Fellowship in Maui, and then on to Australia, New Zealand, Australia, and the Far East. But tomorrow in New York, Sunday in Baltimore. Look forward to seeing you if you're in the New York area or in the Washington, Baltimore area. Please come see us.
Amen. Yeah, and Jacob's going to be here next Sunday at Community Church of DeVore here in San Bernardino. So if you're in the area, LA area, come and join us. It'll be awesome. It'll be a blast to hanging out with Jacob and on a Sunday afternoon, hanging out with Jacob. Actually, it's 10:30, but we usually have so much fun. We go into the afternoon and then Jacob gets really tired. We get him really tired, and then he goes home. So
James will be with me. He's going to drive me in from L.A.
Amen. And Jay will be having a lot of fun with us. So that'd be a lot of fun. Jay, once you come back. So let me go to Jay real quick, and then we'll go to David. Jay, let us know what's going on. You're in Jamaica, and a lot of people praying for you. Obviously, we notified everyone, and I can see your background's not the same. Let us know what's going on.
So this Saturday at 11 a.m., I guess it'd be Eastern Standard Time, I will be doing a Christian conference, believers conference here in Kingston at the Altamont Hotel in Kingston. It's going to be 3 hours. It's going to have coffee and tea, and I'm going to be doing a presentation on biblical identity in the last days, talking about the many different issues that are facing the Jamaican, but also the international church. And being here for almost a week now, I can tell you that Jamaica, unlike the U.S., there are many people who know who Jesus is and know that he is the Lord. So this is going to be a, I think, a great conference. I'm hoping for a good turnout, planning on 30-40, but we'll see what the Lord does.
Amen, Jay. Thank you so much. And you'll be back, I guess you'll be back this week coming up, right? Yeah, you'll be back this week. So, yeah, so I think the 22nd or something like that, right? Yeah, so praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord for you, brother, and you're taking the gospel to the streets, not just on video form, but now live in front of people, just like Jacob. We do a lot of videos here in Memorial TV and DeVore, and then we actually take it to the streets, take it to where people are. David, you took it to where the people are, but on the on Asia, not only Thailand, Japan, back to Philippines, back to Thailand. Let us know what's going on there.
Well, you know, we're really blessed. You know, like Scott Noble in Thailand, Scott is a pure missionary. I mean, if you stay around him 2 minutes, he's going to be giving out tracts everywhere. He tries to evangelize everywhere, you know, and he's got his young son, Micah, out there helping him. It's really wonderful to be with him. And so we were in the prisons. Well, they're open up the prison doors for us to come in and preach the gospel, you know. So the men that we go to, they ask us, please come back, please come back. You know, not just, oh, thanks for coming, but really, please come back. So pray that God will open up more doors for us there to preach the gospel and teach, help them be free. And also the Philippines, got to meet with some local believers here. Got to meet with a pastor and his wife in a local church. It's always good to have a local church to try to work with. They're involved with some missions programs, not only to the Muslims, but to feeding programs and outreach right here in Cebu. So, you know, it's a good thing. So the gospel is going out. And then Japan. Well, Japan is hard ground. It is very hard ground. But we went to a place, Kamamoto, you can correct me, Jay, that is where Christianity was killed in the 1600s. But we had a meeting there at the International Center sponsored by two ladies. Please pray for their husbands, Yoko and Yuno, and that they would be saved. And so they sponsored us, and they were so nice. And we had a decent crowd of pastors, some other people, but it's small in Japan. But we did hand out tracts. We did hand out the book of Matthew that's been translated to in Japanese. So it's tough ground, but we want to go back and try to maybe plant a church there.
Amen. Thank you, David. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. And praying for you so that when you come back, you let us know what else the Lord has done through you.
Yeah.
So we want to continue to let people know that, you know, as we make videos, we also go out to the mission field. And Jacob's been traveling around for quite some time now and pretty busy. So keep him in prayer. Keep David in prayer. Keep Jay in prayer. And and Jacob's going to be visiting with New Zealand and Australia pretty soon. So I'll be hanging out with Davey in May.
Yes.
That's going to be awesome. That's going to be great. Rihanna.
See Davey, we'll see Pierre. We'll see Rihanna. And we'll see Mike Keeney. We'll see Warwick Thorpe. We'll see so many. And Marguerite, of course. We'll see so many of our friends. Hopefully Sam the Greek. Many of our friends in Australia, New Zealand, we haven't seen since before COVID. I'm looking forward to it.
Lori, that's right, Lori.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Amen. Well, that's going to be great. And so looking forward to it. So if you're watching from Australia, New Zealand, get ready. Buckle up. Jacob's coming. So that's going to be a lot of fun there and visiting different cities and preaching in different venues. So
get a hold of Davey or Rihanna, right? Dave, right. What's the email address, Davey?
Just email us at morielaustralia@gmail.com. Okay. And for New Zealand, morielnz@gmail.com.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much, Davey. And we're looking forward to that. I was there last year. So much fun. And continue on the work that the Lord has given to us there and encouraging the believers, building them up. We're going to talk about Australia today. So buckle up if you're in Australia, New Zealand, and things that are going on there. But before we get started, we want to mention that we do have podcasts. So Make sure believers can get a hold of those podcasts on Buzzsprouts, but also on the Morial website, morial.org. There's all the links that you can find them there. So that's going to be awesome. So get a hold of that, because there's all these different teachings, different ones that we do here on Catching Up. There's different ones from Sandy, from Jacob, from myself. And I think David has some too. And we pray that it continues to bless you in the name of the Lord. All right. Well, let's catch up, guys. And Jacob, we spoke about a subject last week, which was on gay Christianity, gay celibate theology is what they call it. And we got some feedback, and praise God. People were thankful that we brought it up. Some people were unaware, some people were aware. And but I don't think they understand the gravity of it. So I wanted you to do, you and I talked about off the air, what you wanted to say about what's going on there, especially when it's getting into organizations and movements that you know quite well, was the Calvary Chapel, friends with Chuck Smith and different pastors. But gay celibate theology is even getting into that organization, that movement. And it's a really sad thing to say. I came out of Calvary Chapel as well. So, Jake, I'm going to turn it over to you. Did your hot take on it? Gay Christianity. I mean, really? Gay celibate theology? They celebrate a book by Greg Cole. And other people like Preston Sprinkle really promote the idea that this is something that they need to look into. But I'll let you take on it, brother. And I'll put the video, I'll put the book up so you people could see it. But Jacob, go right ahead.
Well, we've already addressed several times what transpired in the largest so-called evangelical denomination or movement in the United States, the Southern Baptist, with J.D. Greer when he was president of the Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist, saying that homosexuals should find their number one advocates for homosexual and lesbian rights should be born again Christians, should be Baptists. The Southern Baptists went straight down the sewer. And so many Southern Baptists who knew it was wrong just went along with the agenda and didn't protest. They didn't overthrow him. They didn't do anything. People like Al Mohler basically sat on the fence. We just saw a complete erosion of what had been the Southern Baptist biblical standards of morality and belief, doctrinal belief. Well, now this has happened to Calvary Chapel. We knew that if Chuck Smith had not appointed a Joshua, he said he followed the Moses principle. Well, one of the aspects of the Moses principle is Moses groomed a Joshua to take over for him before he went, that would uphold the same teachings, the Torah. And Chuck Smith did not do that for whatever reasons. The Moses principle was not followed, even though Calvary Chapel professed to believe in it. There was no Joshua to take Chuck Smith's place. As we predicted and others predicted, the Calvary Chapel movement fragmented between the global and the Calvary Baptist Association or whatever, Calvary Chapel Association. And we're seeing it. All you can find are individual Calvary chapels and individual pastors will uphold the traditional beliefs of Calvary Chapel under Chuck Smith, but there is a general compromise across the board in both the global branch of what had been the Calvary Chapel movement, following Brian Broderson out of Costa Mesa, and the Calvary Chapel Association, who are now saying it's an issue we have to look at, and individual churches can take their own doctrinal position. Well, a movement like that is fragmented. It is no longer a movement. It's maybe united by theocratic politics, but it is not united by the Word of God or the Spirit of God. We warned what was happening with this rather depressing figure, Preston Sprinkle in Idaho, featuring this book by this Gregory Cole. Can we look at the book very briefly? Single Gay Christian, which we say is a contradiction in terms, a contradiction in terms. When you're born again, the homosexual is dead. You are a new creation in Christ. The Bible speaks of the renewal of your mind. This is a fundamental denial of salvation as the Bible teaches it. Sanctification, justification followed by sanctification, the renewal of your mind. If there's no sanctification, there will be no redemption. Justification, Christ justifies us by paying for what we did. Sanctification, by his spirit, he changes us. He changes our soul, renews our mind, and redemption, lift up your head, your redemption draws near. If there is no sanctification following justification, there will be no redemption. This is a formula for an institutionalized backsliding. This man is anointed of the devil. He's a servant of Satan, writing such a thing. No, you are not single, gay, and Christian. You are formerly gay, the way I am a former cocaine addict, or the way an alcoholic who gets saved is a former alcoholic. They're a new creation in Christ. What this denies is the power of new creation, the renewal of the mind. You become a new creation. No, I'm still gay, only I'm not practicing it. This man is a liar sent by the devil. He's a religious liar. But he's not the only culprit. When you have a Calvary pastor like Mr. Sprinkle handing him a platform and a microphone, this is bad to promote such a book, to give any kind of avenue to such an expression that is directly contrary to Scripture. But there is yet another villain in the Calvary Chapel movement. Also in Iowa, his name is Tom Velasco. I don't know if we have a photo of him, but this is what he says. Mr. Velasco compares a homosexual having a same-sex attraction only and not acting on it to his sexual attraction to Audrey Hepburn or something like this, to a Hollywood film starlet. This is absurd. Unambiguously, the Epistle to the Romans states the following. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. It calls lesbianism unnatural. Verse 27, in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. The New Testament unambiguously and emphatically makes a distinction between a natural attraction and an unnatural attraction. You cannot equate the two in any sense. Well, I'm tempted to want to sexually fantasize about Audrey Hepburn, and then My Fair Lady, or whatever, Breakfast at Tiffany's, or whatever it is, and try to equate that with someone having a same-sex attraction. The scripture draws a distinction. Yes, lust is wrong in all categories, but the scripture does make a distinction between a natural attraction that generates lust and an unnatural one. Let us understand the Torah, the Pentateuch. No, we're not under the law, but the law does show God's standards of righteousness and holiness. The law is our tutor, our pedion, pointing us to Christ. We don't stone these people to death in the new covenant, but the sin is no less serious. Let's understand this. Fornication, an attraction to a movie star or attractive woman or attractive man, fornication is sin, but it is not considered to have been a capital crime. Homosexuality in God's law, the Torah, is a capital crime. Now, am I saying that we're under the law of Moses and that we should stone these people? No, but the consequences of their sin on the day of judgment will be hell damning unless they repent. Both testaments, the old and the new, clearly draw a distinction between a lust that emanates from a natural attraction and a lust that emanates from an unnatural attraction. Tom Velasco is a religious liar from the devil. That man speaks from the enemy. and he's given platform by Preston Sprinkle. These men are not of Christ. They are of the enemy. This is not the Calvary Chapel of Chuck Smith or of Paul Smith, both of whom I knew, and I knew rather well. This is not New Testament Christianity. This is compromise with the world and its perversion. And it's getting into the church. No, it has gotten into the church. And now Calvary Chapels have compromised and sold out the same as the Southern Baptists. It is part of the apostasy of the last days that Jesus told us will come. Unless these men repent, may the Lord remove them from the ministry. May the Lord raise his hand against Velasco, against Cole, and against Sprinkle. They are enemies of Christ. They are deceivers. They are religious liars. They are false teachers. What they are saying and doing is fundamentally incompatible with the Word of God. And it in no way, no way, were the beliefs of the founders of Calvary Chapel, of Chuck or Paul, no way. I think it is time for people like Joe Foch and so forth who are still in Calvary Chapel, if they have any semblance of what they once were, to stand up and say so. But instead I'm seeing compromise. People like Skip Heidzik, we have to look at this. What is there to look at? You have to throw it out and throw these people out. Now, when they didn't throw people out who they should have, they had a split, a predictable split with the Calvary Global Network. That was the result of compromising and not removing the cancers that they should have. Well, now the cancer has become metastatic. Calvary Chapels, if we know it, is over. It is one big carcinoma. Individual Calvary pastors need to get out of it. It's like any other, it's like the Church of England. Individual believers, individual pastors, individual congregations need to get out of it. Either you throw these people out, and if they don't throw them out, you should get out yourself. Don't stay in it, lest you participate in their sins and share in their plagues. Revelation 18:4. This is not a peripheral issue where we can agree to disagree. This is fundamental biblical morality. That is my take.
Yeah, thank you, Jacob.
Very good. And I just want to let everybody know that that conference that Mr. Sprinkle has, it's this weekend. It started yesterday, I believe. It started yesterday and through Saturday in Boise. And it is a Calvary Chapel Boise who apparently they're not just renting the building from them. They're actually pretty closely associated because he's been doing this. Sprinkle has this conference quite a bit, and it's called Raw Theology. I think this year it's called Exiles in Babylon, and they're tackling quite a bit of issues. And so, you know, we don't want anybody to take our word for it. Look at it yourself, that they are going to be talking about this. I have a whole section on Gen Z, which is the generation that's really young at this time. My kids are that age. And Israel and politics and Palestine, which is basically the issue that's going on, you know, taking the Palestinian side, taking the Israeli side. Then they're doing deconstruction and reconstruction of the gospel. That always gets me a little nervous, right? Jay, we did a whole section on deconstruction and reconstruction. It is, and then the LGBT people in the church. That's one of the sessions there, which I think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe it's right. They're going to have a person who is a transgender speaking at that conference. So you can see where this is at and this is going.
A transgender speaking at the conference, the same as Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
This is my proposal. Mr. Cole, Mr. Sprinkle, and Mr. Velasco, I publicly called you a religious liar and a deceiver sent from the devil, a false teacher. I publicly stated that about you. Meet me on a platform in front of a live stream video camera and debate me. I will debate from the original Greek and Hebrew text. I will debate you on this issue directly from the original Greek and Hebrew text. I say you are a liar, you are a deceiver, you are a false teacher, and you do not represent the traditional beliefs of the Calvary Chapel movement because you departed from the teaching of the New Testament. You're a deceiver and a liar and a false teacher. Prove me wrong. Meet me on the platform of debate and a live stream. Let the body of Christ decide.
I think Sprinkle, I think he has a PhD. I think he got it from, I think it's Biola. I think he did get it from Biola. So he runs the Center of Faith or Sexuality and Gender.
In that case, he ought to be good in Greek and Hebrew.
I think anybody got it out of the box of Fruit Loops himself, but...
It must be the California Seminary thing. I don't know. I think it's Talbot. I think that's where he went to school, to Talbot. But I'm pretty sure. So this is the Guanza promoting Gregory Colin. I don't want people to go buy the book or anything. Like, we're not trying to promote the book. But in the book itself, it's got some really, I don't know where they get this from, Jacob, about, you know, there's the pre-fall genders, and then there's the after-fall gender. And who knows, maybe God made me like a eunuch in a pre-fall gender, but now after the fall, it went into immorality, but now maybe I could just be like a eunuch for God. And there's many people like that, he says. Maybe, who knows, God may have many genders.
The Hebrew is clear. The word for sex is mean. It's translated the Greek word genus, like it comes from it. Mean, of a kind. The biblical teaching about sexuality in the animal kingdom, zoologically and with humans, is always focused on the reproductive element of it. When Noah took the animals onto the ark, it was to replenish the animal population. There was a reproductive element in it. Adam and Eve, God's first command to man was go forth and multiply. For the divine perspective of sexuality to be understood, it must be understood in that we are imagio Dei beings made in God's image and likeness. He is creative, so he made us procreative. If you take out the procreative element from human sexuality, you have a sexual model that is contrary to Scripture, certainly alien from Scripture. This whole thing is a lie of the devil, and the people saying it are liars of the devil. Debate me.
Yeah, they call it side A and side B theology, which side A is the marriage, gay affirming side of it all, which, you know, many Christians will oppose it, you know, but the side B one, it's the one that we're talking about, gay celibate theology. And that's a little bit more palatable. It seems like for a lot of people, they're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker, because it does deal with the sentimental side of it. Well, my children or my aunt or my uncle, you know, they're gay, so maybe they could become Christians.
This was invented by the religious liar. The first apologist for this was Tony Campola, with his red and his black letters. Yeah. And arguing relationally. Truth becomes relational instead of doctrinal. No, that's God's right. Truth is not relational. It is doctrinal. This first deception came with Tony Campola, whose son is a rank unbeliever. And now it's come into Calvary Chapels.
Yeah.
It's devoid of any biblical merit or basis.
Yeah. Jacob, who did you say was the first one that you saw that was changing the gospel from judicial type language to more of a family relational type language and began to change the way the gospel
certainly
was?
Brian McLaren would have been one of them.
Okay. Yeah.
But taking the gospel out of the language of the courtroom and vineyard
yes,
people.
Yes, that's it.
Taking the Bible out of the language of the courtroom and putting it into the family drawing room. John
Wimber? Okay, Wimber. Yeah.
Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John put the gospel into the courtroom. It's a juridical proceeding. Jesus was put on trial and wrongly convicted for what we were guilty of. Jesus was put on trial for our sin. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the word of God, the Holy Spirit ordained that the Bible be put in the language of the courtroom. These religious deceivers want to take it out of there. Only once you deal with the realities of the juridical conviction that we are guilty of sin and Christ had to take the blame for what we did. Only after you deal with the reality of sin and judgment, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Only when you come to terms with that through faith and repentance can you relate to God as a loving father, bringing the church into the family living room, parlor, salon. These men are deceivers sent by the devil. It is the apostasy of the last days. That is what they are. And now it is in Calvary Chapel, which does not frankly surprise me. When Chuck Smith went to his grave, Calvary Chapel went in the grave with him. Somebody get a shovel.
Apparently, they've made that issue to the local churches, even among CCAs. It's a local church issue. So, you know, praying that these pastors will get some courage to stand up against it. And there are some pastors that would do it, but I don't know where the majority stand. I don't
know.
If
they had any courage, they would have done it already.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you, Jacob. And like I said, for those who, you know, don't want to take our word for it, just go. I think the Center of Faith and Gender. Sprinkles has a conference this weekend in Boise, and obviously Tom Velasquez is one of the pastors there. So Jacob, let's move to another subject here, which is today is the 29th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, which happens to be also the 25th anniversary. Sorry, that's 31. No, yeah, 2029. The 31st anniversary of the Waco shooting. What happened in Waco with David Koresh and the Branch Davidian there in Waco, Texas. I remember listening to you quite a long time ago about what happened in the Waco and Branch Davidian and David Koresh. And it is interesting that it is today, and it's exactly what happened at the Oklahoma City bombing, because the Timothy McVeigh said that this was planned at the Oklahoma City federal building, and that's why he bombed it too, as basically a revenge factor of it. But it's interesting that it was the federal government who acted against a church, albeit a cult. Jacob, I remember listening to you about it. You broke it down so well. Don't have to relive the message and do it. We don't have the time for that. But can you let us know in what happened in 31 years now?
There's the legal aspect, and then there is the spiritual or doctrinal or religious aspect, if you will. Let us take the legal aspect first. Janet Reno, whether she was a lesbian or not, I don't know. I just know she was a horrible woman, as it is alleged she was. She was a horrible woman, Clinton's attorney general, eminently unqualified for the job, later tried to run for Senate in Florida, didn't succeed, fortunately. Now she's dead. Okay, this is Janet Reno. She completely running the Justice Department, did nothing. She failed in her mission concerning Chinese spies and the Clinton administration giving missile guidance technology to China. And there was Chinese espionage active in that sphere at the time. She was a failure, a complete failure as a attorney general. She was politically appointed because she was a woman, etc. She was a complete and total failure. This should have been a state issue. If the Texas Rangers had been allowed management of that situation, it would not have ended as badly as it did, in my opinion. It is likely it would have ended differently. They would have arrested Cordish off the grounds and got him away from the people. But the ATF and the FBI got involved. The federal government took over what should have been something mandated constitutionally to the states. You can always find some federal statute or regulation to involve the federal government with its political motive to do so. That's one of the problems with the FBI and the Justice Department. The ATF is, of course, the Treasury Department, which is no better. It didn't have to happen the way it did. It should have been handled by the state, by the Texas Rangers. It would not have been as gross as it was. Now let's look at what happened with Koresh. The slippery slope. A pastor in upstate New York gave me 129 pages of testimony of people who had been in the Branch Davidian sect. And I read these documents he gave me, 129 pages of people who'd been in it. And it was unbelievable what this guy was saying. He had 13-hour Bible studies every day. They were always 13 hours, almost precisely. Always on the book of Revelation. And it was preparing people for this apocalyptic event where they were brainwashed into thinking their salvation was through their association with him. They'd been so brainwashed that when they shot it out with the FBI, they thought that that was this apocalyptic event. That appears to be what happened. Well, it is what happened. He was crazy. He was also sexually perverted and unbelievably sexually perverted. He was the only spiritual man, so only he had relations with women. Wow. Parents were giving their underage daughters over to him sexually. He had the women in a boudoir like his own harem when the men were upstairs without their wives, sexually estranged from their wives, romantically estranged from their wives, semi-separated from their families, upstairs in a military barracks-type environment. He was down in the boudoir doing what he wanted. And it involved abuse of children, beating, abuse with women, and sadomasochism carried out in the name of religion, very much like what you find in convents and monasteries, the Roman Catholic type thing, the religious S&M thing of Roman Catholicism, that kind of sick stuff. You're beating the mother in front of the kids, you see what happens to bad mommies and all this stuff. This is what they were doing, he was doing. I couldn't believe that people would follow him and believe him and do what he was saying. He had these crazy dietary laws that he was always changing. Now you can eat this, then you can't eat that. He had his own version of kosher or kashrut. And I'm reading and reading. A high percentage of his followers were black people. Not all of them, but a high percentage, disproportionately a high amount were black. And a very high percentage, about 30%, were from Great Britain, from England. And I was trying to work out why it was, and I'm reading and reading, 129 pages that this pastor gave me in upstate New York. And I'm reading and I'm trying to figure this out, and then I get to it. Every single one of them had been a Seventh-day Adventist. The oldest trick in the book, before Satan tried to Judaize the church, paganize the church, he tried to Judaize it, getting people to live under two covenants. Now, I'm not talking about Jewish believers voluntarily keeping kosher or something like that. He made it mandatory. He was putting people under the law, Seventh-day Adventist style, trying to live under two covenants. Once you fall into one fundamental error, you become automatically predisposed to another fundamental error, and then another that is more serious progressively. You are on the slippery slope. I saw this in the Children of God cult. I saw this in the so-called Church of Bible Understanding, the Forever Family with Stuart Trail. You go into one fundamental error and you become predisposed to another one that's more serious. You embark on the slippery slope. That's what he did. Seventh-day Adventism was the prep school for the Branch Davidian cult. The oldest trick in the book of Galatians tells us, trying to live under two covenants simultaneously. I'm not talking about voluntary Jewish observance for Jewish believers and their families. I'm talking about putting people back under the law, trying to live under two covenants. That is how this came about. He was obviously demon-possessed. He was demon-possessed. He was satanically empowered to exercise the kind of control he did. But the way he was able to manipulate people, we need to understand how satanic power in an individual can sway people. Adolf Hitler and his henchmen were demon-possessed. They swayed a nation with a high standard of science and culture. How did he do it? He did it by demonic power. ultimately the Antichrist will do this, not by demonic power, but by satanic power. The worst is yet to come. Kodesh, which was not his real name, is just a little hint of the spirit of Antichrist that's being unleashed. Hitler is a better example in certain respects. But that's what it comes from. That's what it is. That's how we need to understand it.
Very good, Jacob. Thank you so much. And that's been 31 years. Can you imagine that? 31 years, 29 years.
I remember it well. Yeah. I remember that, and I remember Jim Jones in Guyana.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah.
It was live, man.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
Yeah, it was CNN covered the burning of the building live.
Yeah, in Waco. Yeah.
Yeah.
It ended up being 80, I think more than 80 people died. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. Not only what the government did, but what David Koresh did in the Vidian branch. Also, tomorrow, it would be the 25th anniversary of the Columbine shooting, which it was, of course, the two boys who, two young men, Harris and Claybold, who killed 13 people, including targeting Christians like Cassie Bernal, and was one of the ones killed for her faith. So lots of stuff going on this, all sort of combined together in the same weekend. And it's always a strange coincidence, isn't it? But obviously the bombing of the Oklahoma City building and the Waco were related, because they said it. Timothy McVeigh said that this was because they organized it, and that he came against the federal government for what they did to the people there. So very, very interesting.
What you see the mainstream media does and what the corrupt government does is this. They take a McVeigh and they try to say, you see, right-wing extremists are as dangerous as Muslims.
That's right.
McVeigh was a one-off. The San Bernardino murders, the September 11th, the London 2 bombings, all the bombings in Munich and in Brussels and Paris. McVeigh was a one-off. You have these transgender people and homosexuals and lesbians committing mass shootings.
Yeah, this is what it's led to.
They suppress that. But if somebody they can pin as a Trump supporter or right wing or something does it, these people are a danger.
Yep.
They take that crazy demoniac in Pittsburgh and they say, this is common. This is the real threat. Yeah. They amplify these individuals who are evil people who need to be capitally executed or whatever. They take these people and they try to make them appear to be the main threat, to cover up the threat that's coming from other social categories, radical homosexuality and radical Islam. That's the media's game. That's the corrupt government's game.
You know, go ahead, Marco, Jack. You've got real Christians are becoming a very small minority, those that are standing for the truth. And so you have these others, the left wing and the Islam and all this, they're growing inside. So the police are fearful of the mobs.
Yes.
So they arrest the weakened Christian. And so it becomes easy to stymie the police. But, can I say something about that young lady? I remember that young lady, what she said. I guess the guy Claybo put a gun to her, said, do you believe in Jesus? And she said, yeah. He said, well, you're getting ready to meet him. And then she killed her. So what a good faith that she had, you know. So may we have it. But can I ask something of Jacob, Marco? Would you mind?
Yeah, please.
We have Christian nationalism is rising now. We have dominionism, Seven Mountains theology, all of this. And this is being viewed as something good. But how does Christian nationalism line up with true belief in Jesus Christ? And is it going to be a threat to Christianity and distracting people that want to save America and things like that?
First of all, what the mainstream media are doing are taking people who subscribe to traditional Judeo-Christian moral and family values and who are patriotic, believe in protecting the borders, things of that nature. They're taking those people and they are rebranding them as dangerous fanatics, potential terrorists. They're lying. They're only patriots. They are only people who have traditional moral and family values based on scriptural beliefs. The fabric that used to hold society together, upon which the national identity was sociologically and politically predicated to a large degree. And they're taking them and remolding them in the public image as being the danger and the threat in order to downplay, to obfuscate what's really happening with Muslims taking over the, and pro-radicals, supportive of radical Islam, taking over the Golden Gate Bridge. They want to dissuade from that by taking innocent people and calling them something they're not. The numbers of right-wing fanatics who claim to be Christians and things of this nature, they're odd individuals. They're odd individuals. But what the media and government are saying is, no, it's radical Muslims are the odd individuals. Most Muslims are good. It's the Christians who are the radicals. This is the hand of the devil. It is Satan.
Do you think Christian nationalism and stuff is also an assault on true Christianity?
The scripture calls Christians to be good citizens and to be salt and light in the society by upholding God's values and to pray for those in government and in leadership and have that influence. They're going to be attacked for doing that. Now, I do think when you have Reconstructionists, the people who follow the erroneous teachings of Ramesh Vosduni, people like Greg Bonson and the late Gary North and David Shilton and the D. James Kennedy, people like that, I believe, had no biblical mandate to do what they were doing. Dominion theology, Reconstructionism, Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. But Christians being salt and light in the society and voting for candidates who uphold biblical standards, I think that is the right thing to do, but they're being called a radical threat to society, while the real radical threat to society are being protected by the media and by the corrupt government, the administration, and the courts.
All right.
Very good. Jacob, let's talk about what happened in Wakely, Australia. And in the light of being, you know, Christians being attacked, and obviously this was an Orthodox priest that was stabbed, Marie Emmanuel, in Wakely, which is a suburb of Sydney. And he was stabbed by a Muslim. I think he's 15, 16 years old. I forget the age that he actually was at the time. I think it was 15. But he stabbed Mari Emmanuel. He stabbed another person and he attacked the churchgoers. No one was killed. But then there was a protest by the people that, you know, love the church or on behalf of the priest and did not like what this Muslim guy did. And so they began to protest, and immediately the police, of course, they try to squelch down what happened. And immediately you see the government go completely into censorship. You can't find a video anymore. You can't talk about it anymore. They'll come after you. Now, granted, this is right after the mass stabbing in Bondi Junction, the shopping center, by another man who went on a rampage like that. So what's going on in Australia, specifically attacking churches?
Allowing radical Muslims into Australia. Or allowing Muslims into Australia without screening them for being radical is a gift to Australia from Penny Wong and the Albanese government. That is the opinion of many Australians who I know. And I can see why they think that way. When your government will not protect you from alien invaders who are against your democratic values and freedom of speech and freedom of religion, people want to protect themselves. Yet the government and the police are pressured to criminalize the people trying to protect themselves because they do not want to do what is necessary. As we speak, Penny Wong is trying to bring more radicals, more radical Muslims into Australia from Gaza. She's trying to import more of them. Now, if I was an Australian, I would call this betrayal. I would see this as a treasonous act if I was an Australian citizen. I see the same things in America and other countries. I saw how the lying filth that came out of the mouth of George Bush after September 11th, trying to defend Islam. They're our friends, and Saudi Arabia are our friends when they're arresting and beheading Christians. Bush saying our, Bush was a godless liar, a godless liar who many Christians voted for. He was a godless liar. That was America. Well, Australians have their own version of it. It's the same thing. You had the Australians coming back in body bags from Bali in Australia, murdered by Muslims. You had the riots in Cronulla. You had another Muslim shooting people up down by Circular Quay. You had these other attacks. And this kid is on the ground. This young guy is laughing after stabbing a clergyman who only exercised freedom of religion and freedom of speech. And now the government is anxious to protect who? Itself? And you have an Islamic organization saying, report anybody speaking evil about Islam and about Muhammad the prophet, and we'll take the necessary action. What's the necessary action? More murder? I'm asking the question, not making the accusation. The left-wing governments of Australia, in its states, particularly New South Wales and Victoria, and certainly the present government of Albanese, we know that they will not protect the democratic freedom of Australian citizens. Those films should be posted on the internet because they show exactly what that guy did and why he did it. People have a right to see the truth.
That's right.
We do not say that there are not moderate Muslims. There are even moderate Muslim sects like the Ahmadis. But remember, there are three times as many wars and armed conflicts in the world involving Islam than there are all the religious people groups in the world put together. They want to blame Israel. This incident had nothing to do with Israel. The leader of Hamas in Qatar said, after we get rid of the Zionists, we'll kill the other Jews, and then we're going to kill the Christians. Yes. They say this openly, but the filth class, the political establishment in the Western democracies that are not democracies anymore, will sweep this under the rug and defend this at the expense of not protecting their own citizens. This is what happened in the United States. It's what happens in Great Britain. It's what is happening in Australia. It is what is happening in many places. There is no place for moderate Muslims not to be protected from radical ones. Yet, moderate Muslims are in fear and hiding from radical ones. Ahmadi Muslims in the Muslim world live in fear of their lives. And again, I don't believe in Islam, but I believe in the human rights of moderate Muslims. The left will say nothing about the treatment of women and homosexuals in Muslim countries. They'll take the side of the very Islamic radicalism that commits these atrocities against women and homosexuals and whatever. This is the hypocrisy of the left and of the mainstream media. And Australia is a big example of it. Now, you do have certain journalists in Australia like Andrew Bolt who seek to tell the truth. I do admit that. And you have Melanie Phillips in England. I do admit that. And you have Newsmax and things like this in the United States. I do admit that. But the mainstream political establishment and the mainstream media are liars. They will protect the wicked at the expense of the innocent. They will betray their own citizens to foreign invaders, heathen savages with a murdering mentality. That is what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what you see happening in London. It's what you see happening in New York, Washington, and San Francisco. And it's what you see happening in Sydney.
And it's ramping
up. I'm going to go to Davey real quick. Davey, what's your take on it? It looks like the Tyrants never let a crisis go to waste. Immediately, was their name Julie Grant, the e-safety? And I didn't know they even had an e-safety commissioner, but they do. Not letting anybody have any comments except what the mainstream, not even mainstream media, what the government wants you to know. But what's going on there? You're there on the ground floor. Tell us a little bit more.
Yep. Look, they've been using the events of the past week to really just ramp up censorship, total control of everything on media platforms, what you can say, what you can do. Censorship kind of galore. That Julie Grant, she's a WEF plant, basically.
So, man.
And there's a reason. There's a reason why Musk got rid of her from Twitter. But the censorship has just been totally crazy. One attack you probably wouldn't have heard of, most people here, even in Australia, probably haven't even heard of, is what happened in the Melbourne shopping centre, where because it was Muslim against Muslim. So you had one Muslim with a machete, one with a knife, and they were going at it in a shopping centre Melbourne. So that was... okay, it doesn't fit the narrative. You've got to sweep that under the rug. But... look, lawsuits should really happen. At the stabbing in Sydney, the media was quick to demonize Benjamin Cohen, made his life basically a living nightmare by falsely accusing him. They were quick to pin it on someone who was, Jewish. They had no problems doing that. No apologies, nothing like that coming forward. The censorship that's just going on at the moment is crazy. The filming, even of the protests that happened outside of the church.
A whole film crew.
Were deliberately staged, and the camera angles and everything were deliberately done. It was basically a setup to make it look worse than what it actually was. Police going around to arrest the believers. The guy surrendered, the guy gave himself up peacefully, but they've got to make it all dramatic and have.
Yeah.
Look, they're gunning for Jews. They're gunning for Christians. We're the ones targeting all this talk about hate speech. Not one charge was laid against any of the ones who were screaming death to Jews from the Sydney Opera House or other pro-Palestinian protesters where they're allowed to trash and destroy property and, chant anti-Semitic threats at the top of their voice, threats of violence. Apparently it's okay to, the hypocrisy is just astounding. I am actually ashamed to call myself an Australian. I really am. It's disgusting. But this is what's happening. We're going to be controlled more and more. They're going to use this, ram it through along with the digital ID and the MyGov health passport and all the rest of it. They're saying that the digital ID is going to be voluntary, but it'll be voluntary like most of the other things they've done. You're not going to be able to function unless you go along with it.
Yeah, it's moving really fast. And this is what's going on with Christians all over the world. They're being treated like this. Churches are burning. They're being targeted. Christians are being targeted. They're being targeted for prison. They're being targeted for, obviously physically. Rob Reiner released that movie. Of course, he blames Christians for the problems in the world. It's called God and Country, which is a horrible film. Christians are a threat to democracy, he says, because they stand in the way as a roadblock to, obviously, the left-wing agenda. So, Jacob, in the UK, you got this man who actually filmed what happened. The police came in, a psychiatric nurse came into his home because he had posted as an Orthodox, Orthodox Christian, he says, he goes to his priest and visits him in the light of what happened in Australia, and the police show up and say, hey, why did you post that? What are you doing? This is in the UK, which is known for targeting Christians on social media.
Of course. They will let Muslims get away with the most atrocious of hate crimes and go after Christians because Christians don't riot.
He said, this is religious discrimination, he said, the man that led them into his home. You won't be knocking on a Muslim's door. So this is religious discrimination. He's absolutely right. Yeah. Now, this is the same police who targeted the lady praying across the street from an abortion clinic in her mind. The same police who basically went after the Christian preacher, and the same police who even took the British Army veteran for posting that he didn't agree with LGBT. They literally show up to your house.
Yes.
This is crazy.
You know, these police are, again, they're controlled by politicians who are turning them into a political police force. It is becoming very difficult to be a Christian in the British police or the Australian police or particularly federal law enforcement because you have to wear a swastika. You have to reject the cross in favor of a swastika. You have to reject the Star of David in favor of a swastika. What's worse is the left-wing Jews like Reiner who support this agenda.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. David, you talked about Rob Reiner before here. He's going after Christians. Well,
Been a parasite he's a talentless nothing who made it on his father's name and reputation. That's him. Okay. And like all has-beens, Hollywood has-beens, he goes into left-wing political activism in order to try to keep his name in the paper or his face on TV to keep himself in the public eye because he doesn't have the talent or the wherewithal to do anything without his father. Norman Lear gave him a job because of who his father was. That is my opinion. He's talentless, but he does this, the whole, you know, Bianca Jagger type thing, the same thing, the Loretta Swit type thing. The has-beens play Hollywood has-beens. They go into left-wing political causes to keep their faces in the public eye because they're no longer making it at the box office or on TV. That's what Reiner is, a parasite. But that is one aspect. The other aspect is he's too stupid to realize that he is supporting an anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish agenda. At least Alan Dershowitz is waking up and realizing he doesn't want to be Alan Jerkowitz. He's realizing the truth of the Democratic Party establishment. Alan Dershowitz at least has the mental wherewithal to realize it, the intellectual prowess to come to terms with it, and the personal courage to confront it. Reiner has none of those things.
You know, Jacob, we were calling out law enforcement and everything acting like Nazis. And before you even said that, I was thinking of police as they're just doing their job. I was remembering what come out of the Nuremberg trials. Was just doing my job.
Holding orders, that's right.
And they're conditioning people to do this from political pressure from on top to comply. And they've got families to feed, but they get conditioned, don't they? They just keep doing it. You just go around. I'm following orders. I'm just doing my job. And they end up becoming something else, not
Gestapo.
Yeah.
During the lockdowns, right, David? You saw during the lockdowns, it would come, they would break up a church meeting, they would break up, you know, try to imprison pastors in Canada and the UK. And they were just saying, like, look, I'm just here doing my job. I'm just doing my job, just following orders.
Yeah. Trudeau did everything he could to turn the Mounties into a Gestapo.
Their eyes are being shut to what, you know, like, because most cops I've ever known and everything, they want to go in to keep law and order. They actually have a calling, you know, it's something else. The Bible talks about an anointing on the civil servant, you know, but they're losing it, Jacob. Is it an infection of our society because we're going away from
what's happening? More and more cops are taking early retirement or they're quitting. People are not wanting to take those jobs. There's shortages of police officers throughout the United States alone because honest cops can't be honest cops. You have to be a crooked cop to be a cop these days in some of these jurisdictions. Yeah. And honest cops want to be honest.
Yeah. We don't mean taking money or anything, but just not doing what is right.
Not doing what is right. That's
yeah,
right.
But I mean, if it's your income and your job security and your pension, you're doing it for money.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I wasn't thinking that way. When I think of bad cops, I always, the French Connection, that sort of stuff.
All right, let's talk about what happened yesterday in light of what happened last weekend, which was we got off the air and Israel announced that they were going to, they were going to hit back, and it happened. And because Iran did it over the weekend, this past weekend, Iran launched, I don't know how it ended up being 300 to 400, 500 missiles, drone attacks, and into different parts of Israel. The some of the Arab states were able to take them down, along with the U.S. and Jordan, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia. And then the Israelis basically strike back yesterday into Iraq, Syria, and Iran. Of course, the targets and the bases in which the drones and the missiles came out of. So the weirdest part about all this, and we'll start with Jacob, is that Iran signaled that they were going to do it. And apparently Israel signaled that yesterday, before it happened, that they were going to do it. So this was on the Channel 14 TV of Israel. So very bizarre to me that Iran would have given like 48-hour notice. But Jacob, turn it over to you. Iranian media is confirming it did get attacked. The bases got attacked.
This whole thing is ridiculous, corrupt political theater. The Chinese Communist Party has a hand in it.
Absolutely.
But at the center of it is the corrupt Biden or Joe Obama administration. Iran, through third parties, particularly Erdogan's Turkey, and possibly some other Muslim countries, but certainly Turkey, notified the Americans and hence the Israelis about what was going to happen. It was all pre-staged what they would do, the Americans, yeah. The British, the Israelis, and some of the Sunni Muslim countries, particularly Jordan, but also Saudi Arabia and some of the Emirates, were ready for it and prevented anything from happening because they were tipped off ahead of time. The right. Iranians knew if they just did it hostily without getting a green light from the powers that be, from the globalists, that Israelis would hit back and what would happen. Biden is out to protect Iran, not to protect Israel, not to protect America. He's out to protect Iran. And he knew if the Israelis had nothing to lose, they would hit back. And in an election year, he'd be vulnerable. Secondly, when the Israelis hit back, you had Cameron and you had Biden saying, we don't support Israel hitting back. Count it as a win. You weren't hit. You weren't hurt much. Just let it go. You're not allowed to shoot back. Again, Biden funded this. The money came from Biden and from China. Thanks to Biden because of the not enforcing oil sanctions. So China was able to fund it thanks to Biden, and Biden funded it by unfreezing assets as Obama did earlier. It's the Obama-Biden axis. It was all staged. They funded it. Then they negotiated with Netanyahu. Look, I'm going to go into Rafah, which Biden didn't want him to do. Well, we got to give them something. Let's say nothing when they go into Rafah. Oh, we'll only hit a couple of limited targets inside Iran so we can say we hit back and save face. But don't go in there and do what needs to be done. Joe Obama tied their hands. It is all corrupt. Biden, Obama are no friends of Israel. They are basically de facto sponsors of Iran. And I say that not to shock people, but because it's the truth. They unfroze the funds and gave it to them. They tied the hands of the Israelis in dealing with Iran. They let them go on with their development of nuclear weapons. This week, Reuters said that Iran may only be weeks away from developing a nuclear arsenal paid for, courtesy of Joe Obama.
Yeah, they kicked all the inspectors out too,
so they wouldn't let them see it.
Of course.
Jacob, do you think this is obviously the U.S. is involved to a certain degree, but if it continues, would you think there'll be the U.S. will be drawn into this conflict a lot more than where it is today?
They're trying to do what they're doing, playing both sides to prevent the conflict from expanding more than it is. But ultimately, read Daniel 10, they're not going to be able to do it.
That's the kicker. Prayer.
Right, my hope is that the Almighty raises his hand against Obama. I want to see God Almighty destroy Barack Obama and Joe Biden, because they will destroy America if God does not destroy them. I will curse them that curse thee. They will bring God's judgment on America. I pray to God that he raises his hand against Cameron, against Obama, and against Susan Rice, and against Lincoln, and against Austin, and against Jake Sullivan, and against Biden.
Go ahead, David.
I saw a report. I thought I saw it this morning, might have been yesterday, but there was big 911 outages across the nation. Okay, and the FBI said that China is ready to attack America's infrastructure. We're seeing a lot of these things happening, and hopefully Christians are seeing the same thing too and preparing for what if your electricity goes off? What if your phones go down? What if, are you ready for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it's going to take? Remember, it's death by a thousand cuts. Attack us here. I read something from, I think it was in the Epic Times, from one of the CCP, ex-CPC, that getting information from inside the party, that they've said as long as they don't attack the Defense Department or the military, nothing happens. That I thought that was an interesting statement. They can attack our infrastructure, they can attack everything else, but they don't care as long as you keep the missiles firing and all that stuff. We're under attack, man.
It was interesting to your point, David.
The Congress knows that the issues that are going on with the CCP and the infrastructure attack, even Christopher Wray, before Congress, hey, we are expecting an infrastructure attack, a cyber attack by China, by the CCP. Even people that were part of the CCP, who are more like whistleblowers now at the CCP, says, you know who's funding this war? And to Jacob's point, the CCP has a lot to do with this. And it's not only Iran, but the proxies of Iran, including cybersecurity attacks, which will be the proxies of China through these hackers. So all in all, we live in a very, very precarious situation. Now let's talk about the economic side of it. Futures tumble, oil soars, gold soars. I guess you said the yield, it's going down. Bitcoin's going down. People are very concerned of what's going to happen next, especially with the Natanz nuclear facility, which Israel may be targeting next. Jacob, the future trading here, they talk about the economic side of it. People are very scared going into we're already in the election cycle. And this is not good for either party. We're not going to call the unit, not good for any of the parties.
As I'm an independent. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I think that people who think the Republican Party represent Judeo-Christian values or traditional American constitutional conservatism, I think they're very naive. You can talk about individual Republicans like Ted Cruz or Ron Paul, who may be like that, but you cannot speak of the Republican Party as being anything like what these naive people imagine. But what kind of a moron would believe the border is being protected? And listen to Mayorkas, that the border is being, you have to be a moron to believe it. You've got these cities being overrun by illegal aliens, cutting municipal budgets, cutting police and fire department to fund illegal aliens with no right to be in the country. And what kind of a person would believe Mayorkas? How can somebody be that stupid? How can somebody who knows that Staples, just Staples, they're paying 17% more for Staples than before Biden was elected? How can somebody be so stupid as to know prices have gone up 25%? That oil has, petroleum has gone up from $2 a gallon for gasoline to what it is now. How can anybody be so stupid as to thinking the economy is doing well? Who could possibly be that stupid? A liberal Democrat. How can anybody listen to somebody who's obviously not telling you the truth? Why would you listen to somebody who defends Biden like Whoopi Goldberg or Joe Scarborough, singing the praises of Biden like everything's going well? How can you be that stupid? Don't you see what happens when you try to fill your tank with petrol, with gasoline? Don't you see what's happening when you go to the grocery store? Are you really that stupid? Well, you must be if you vote liberal Democrat. You must be that stupid.
Jacob, is this a general turning over of people to a spirit of error?
I think it is. They've been handed over to their own idiocy for spiritual reasons, yes.
So good is evil, right is wrong, and people can't admit the truth. If they ever see the truth, the lie, they prefer the lie.
Of course, they prefer the lie. You know, I know people, I have Roman Catholic family who see what's happening in the Roman Catholic Church with the pedophilia. They prefer to believe the lie.
Yeah.
They choose the lie. Well, they'll be the victims of it.
Yeah. Jacob, let me ask you this.
Because of what you were saying about the Republican Party, and this is a telltale sign. This is a unit party. It's revealed more than ever. You have Speaker Johnson, who just passed this foreign aid package, which overwhelmingly, even if you want to make the case, okay, we need to support Israel and send some money for defense and all that stuff, but overwhelmingly for Ukraine, which has done very little of anything to defend their own country and actually taken a lot of that money for themselves and corrupt leaders and Zelensky and all that stuff. But he backs it up and says, okay, there's going to be 61 for Ukraine, 29 for Israel, 8 for Taiwan, in order to appease the Democrats, he says, because otherwise they wouldn't pass this package. But he has nothing for the border. Nothing. Not one penny goes for the border. He says,
correct.
I have no,
nothing
I have
for the border. That is an outrage in itself. Now, I respectfully disagree, as much as I dislike Zelensky and the Ukrainian government. The Ukrainian people have suffered terribly and fought bravely. I don't think that they've done nothing. It's not the people. It's my problems with the regime.
Oh, absolutely. The people aren't seeing any of this money. They've seen nothing of this money.
Ukrainian people have fought bravely and paid a terrible price. So I wouldn't quite be able to echo your sentiments as you've expressed them. But I have no regard for Zelensky and his regime. That the Ukrainian government was corrupt before this war began. They were in bed with Biden. How could they be anything else? However, having said that, because he is a professing born-again Christian, I feel that I have been not simply betrayed. Mike Johnson is a political Judas. His number one infraction, to support without FISA warrants government surveillance on American citizens without a court order and without any evidence being persuaded objectively to a court. The man has acted against the Constitution. He's acted against democracy. Believer or no believer, Proverbs tells me 3 times, an unjust balance is an abomination to the Lord. I consider that man to be an enemy of the Constitution and an enemy of freedom. And once the Constitution is no longer being upheld, it will no longer protect the right of Christians. Mr. Johnson is a political Judas. I would say that I, as high as my hopes were for him initially, I no longer trust or respect him at all. I really do not. I cannot. And the fact that he is a believer or professes to be makes it much, much worse. He's as bad as the rest of them. A politician is a politician. Godless scum. That's what they behave like. Godless scum. And Mr. Johnson, you say you're a Christian, but you behave like godless scum.
On top of that, Jacob, the Congress passed in this FISA bill, where they can spy on us, they exempted the FBI from spying on Congress.
Yes.
Yep. Hypocrites.
Total hypocrites.
Yeah, this is FISA 702
hypocrite. That passed last week's on April 12th. This is FISA 702, which Jacob's only words. I mean, you're talking about it, but it's the details are even more like infuriating. It was a tie. Conservative Republican said
who
no.
Who broke the tie?
Mike Johnson.
And are those laws going to be used against Christians when the FBI said they're going to spy on Christian parents? That 100%. Man is a Judas. Johnson is a Judas.
Yeah.
He's a politician first and a Christian second.
That's right.
That's what Mike Johnson is. That's what he's always been. It's unfortunate, but most politicians are exactly that. Yeah. All they do is they spin you the yarn that you need to hear for that moment to get elected. Yep. And once they get in, they forget their Bible. They forget their brothers. They forget their sisters. They forget their church association. It's all about power.
I understand he has a narrow majority and he's in a politically difficult situation. But the compromise on democratic freedom, when federal surveillance is being used against Christians for being Christians, upholding Christian morality, not wanting their children indoctrinated, and you break the vote and you give them the power. At the same time, the federal government is, the White House is going to Google and to all of these Silicon Valley social networks and social media and saying, do this, do that. Active collaboration between media, social media, and a corrupt government. And Johnson takes their size. James is right. He's a politician first and a Christian second. You know what somebody who says who's a politician first and a Christian second is? A whore with a cross around his neck.
Yeah,
you can put a chain with a cross on it around your neck, but you're still a whore. Think of a prostitute on the street corner wearing a cross around her neck, turning tricks. That's what a politician is who says that they are, who proves with their actions, who says with their actions that they are a politician first and a Christian second. Well, that's what Johnson is.
Let me break it down so that people can really understand. This is about as big as Obama turning the internet to the UN. The government will take over the internet in the United States with massive expansion of surveillance. Your text messages, your emails, your internet provider, anything you can think of. You go to a coffee shop, you go to a laundromat, you can go to anywhere, and they have to hand over that data. According to the NSA, and they passed it. They go to Google, they go to Verizon, they go to anybody now that provides a Wi-Fi service, whether it's through routers, whether it's through just Wi-Fi signals, and it's the most dramatic expansion that the government has ever seen the government do. And this was done at the hand of a Republican who claims to be a Christian.
This
is self-described conservative, he says.
Yes.
And they say that it wasn't used that much, but it was 400,000 times under the last renewal.
Not that much, only 400,000. You know what reminds me of? Jesse Helms was a big born-again Christian, and he was on the Senate committee responsible for tobacco subsidies when his wife's family was some of the biggest tobacco farmers in the country, and he was on the committee that oversaw it, making the taxpayers subsidize the tobacco industry, giving people cancer and emphysema. And when he was challenged about this, he said he would pray about it. you've always had people like Johnson. Jesse Helms was one of them with the tobacco.
Yeah. Go ahead, David, go ahead.
Ted Cruz said years ago, I think it was before his last election, he wrote that book, and in the book, he said, most people are pretty naive about their own politician. They all talk conservative before the election, he says, but when they come to Washington and the door is shut, they all vote very liberal.
Yeah.
And this has been going on for a long time. People think we're divided into Republican and Democrat, you know, like,
party.
If you choose Republican, that's good. If you choose a Democrat, it's bad. They're pitting Americans against each other when most people in America, I truly believe most people in America do want they want to live a decent life. They would like to have law and order. They would like to have, you know, peace in their lives and some to be able to afford, you know, a home. They we have common beliefs on both sides, but the government is pitting us against each other.
Yeah, it tells you something what Mike Johnson did, because this is who is very happy about this. You know who's very happy? Chuck Schumer.
Of course.
Totally loves what Mike Johnson did. Joe Biden says he's an effective speaker. He says he's an effective. So when you got those guys telling you that they did a great job, you did a great job. I don't know. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what have I done? And this is and then of course some Republicans are saying this is good. Obviously, quite a bit of them, the conservative ones, are not saying that at all. But Massey and Chip Roy and all these guys are saying the internet has been handed over. The internet has been handed over to basically our spying agencies. So this is where we are. This is where we are today. And boy, we got to really think about that.
Most politicians, when they go to they leave their state and they go to Washington, most of them become bad, but a few of them actually hold the ground and they actually get better. And that would be Johnson, the way he's grilling everybody and exposing the truth. You talked about Chip Roy. There's a handful right. of good men.
Yeah,
but we need 200 more.
That's right. One final part, and this is our last subject for catching up, and we will be going to backstage to take questions. So if you guys are watching and you're watching live, you serve some explosive stuff today, not only about Israel, what's going on here in America, what's going on in Australia and the UK, all these pointing to the fact that, look, persecution is coming, perseverance through tribulation. What Paul talked about is kind of something we have to exercise as Christians in the world, because the world's no friend to Christians, and there's many betrayers, many false teachers, and we have to stick together as believers. We have to really stick to God's word, hold on to it, glued onto it, and to each other to go through these difficult times. I want to bring this last point up, which is the Stronger Man's Conference, which is in Missouri this week, and they do it every year, and it's been going on for some time. And at a time where Christians ought to be outspoken about their faith and the gospel and the need for repentance and salvation only in Jesus Christ and bringing back salt and light to a society that has certainly lost its way. And to David's point, there are still some people that see it, that want that. And the church should be the most outspoken at advocating truth, reality, salvation, repentance, faith. You get this conference. Mark Driscoll, which we have talked about here many times, he's a false teacher, was a feature speaker. What they had at this conference was the performance of a guy named Alex Magala, which is like a male stripper, swallowing swords and dancing on a pole with his shirt off, and the crowd going wild, men, Christian men, supposed to be applauding this man. Mark Driscoll gets on the stage after the performance, and he protests against it, and he says this was wrong, this was sinful, this was like the Jezebel spirit and all this stuff, and he gets kicked off the stage by the pastor, who is, I suppose, the leader of this organization, Stronger Men's Conference, John Lindell. And he invites back, like he kicked Driscoll out. He invites him back, and Driscoll apologizes for what he did, because he said, yeah, I should have done it privately, Matthew 18. I should not have done it openly, you know, calling out the sin of having a male stripper at a men's conference. And so they go back together and they talk, and Lindell says, if you come against Mark Driscoll, you're coming against the anointing of a man, and you're, to a lesser extent, you're coming against God. You're coming against the faith, and you're going to wander from the faith, and more or less you're going to end up in hell because it's unbelief if you come against Driscoll, if you criticize him. And he calls him John the Baptist. And men clap and cheer, standing ovation at this false teaching. And it breaks our hearts. Jacob, I'll turn it over to you.
And this includes men who are pastors who should know better.
Yeah.
The fact that you'd have somebody like a vulgar person like Driscoll, who is ethically rejected, even by Mars Church, they rejected him on ethical grounds. I mean, this guy is he had people go out buy copies of his book to artificially get it on the New York Times bestseller list, and he got caught doing it. I mean, he's ethically deficient, but his mouth is extremely vulgar. his teaching on the Song of Solomon was not only bad doctrinally, but just the way he talks is disgusting. To have somebody like him. Well, look what they've got. They've got this guy doing this stuff. How does this teach men to be Christ-like? It's worse than Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers was a stupid joke. Was a stupid ecumenical joke and a con job. Okay, this is worse than Promise Keepers.
Mm. Yep.
Well, it's supposed to take on that form of man's conference, like Promise Keepers, to, you know, stronger man. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. Driscoll had 40 elders, 40 of his elders, say he was unfit for service. There was $202,000 missing. That was attested to by the elders. Then there was 21 of his elders called him an abusive pastor. So look, he is the qualifications for being a pastor is above reproach. And so he shouldn't even be at these conferences. But then once you start calling him out, they use the same ploy that Benny, Kenny, Joyce, all those people did to Jacob and me 35 years ago. Touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. They did it, this guy, calling him John the Baptist. You know, and so I had one person call me out and say, hey, those elders didn't turn out very good. So I just replied. So now you're telling me that his discernment wasn't good enough to pick good, godly men? You know, it goes from bad to worse. And this conference, you know, it looked like a giant entertainment, the thing that Spurgeon warned about 100+ years ago, entertaining goats.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and their messages are not, they're not, it's, they're just, it's hype. It's emotion. They're getting men to grow on emotion.
And David, this was a sexualized event. It's bad enough, bad teaching, no teaching, hype. That's all it is. But now you invite a sexually perverted act into a men's conference, and most men stayed. It wasn't even a huge protest about it or anything. So I don't understand. You know, going back to our first point about the gay Christianity, have people just, you know, pastors and leaders turn a blind eye to it. They just like, well, you know, we just let it be. We have to look into it. Now this conference has something perverted and they're okay with it. And even when a false teacher says, hey, you know what? Maybe for a moment his conscience was pricked that this was wrong. But then to come back and say, I apologize for doing it that way and calling out the sin. I should have done it in Matthew 18, which again is one of those most misunderstood verses by any Christian that doesn't even know how to apply them. Yep. But this is it is so beyond ridiculous. It is so beyond ridiculous. And David, so people to criticize you for telling them this was wrong is also ridiculous. You know, just backing up a false teacher for doing something that he should have not have been in the first place. But it is ridiculous. This is the Christian church. This is what salt and light was supposed to be in our world. I don't know. I don't know if there's any left.
Doctrine has not been taught. People do not know what they believe and why they believe anymore, Marco. They don't know their Bible. You know, you talk to people now that it's like when I get around good, solid Christians that love the Lord and love the Word of God comes out of their mouth. You see their life ruled by the Word and guided by it. But when you get around worldly Christians, all of a sudden you hear no doctrine. You don't hear anything, or you get a misapplication of doctrine. There's error coming out of their hearts. You know,
there was a study just released this week. Elizabeth sent it out. It was Bible engagement. And the numbers of Christians or people who engage with the Bible has decreased by 40% since 2011.
Wow.
Wow.
People who read the Bible at least three times a month has gone down by 40% since 2011.
Wow. Jay?
problems that we're having in Jamaica that I've been told by the pastors here is that the women are coming to the pulpit and being pastors because the men have completely shirked their responsibility to be men of God. This conference that we watched with Mark Driscoll is a symptom of a bigger problem. These men, by their standard, they would be wagging their fingers at John the Baptist.
Yes. Saying,
you know what? You should be going to these Pharisees in private. You shouldn't call them serpents in front of everyone and shame them. They would wag their fingers at Elijah. How dare you not understand that they have a different belief system than you, Elijah? They have no idea what it is when people are trying to call for repentance, what that means. That's the call of men of God who have courage. But there's so many men that don't have any courage left to speak for the truth, speak for doctrine.
Yeah. Oh, how dare you judge? Quit judging. You know, judge.
Go ahead, Davey. You got something, Davey.
Oh, well, actually, when you were just talking to Jay, you just reminded me something, and it was an image I already had in my head, but I'll say it now, too. What it did actually remind me of was the Hillsong Conference, the women's conference that time, where they had the Naked Cowboy.
Oh, so this is
kind of like the male equivalent. But even the whole Mark Driscoll's, what do you call it, indignation and then the so-called apology and all the rest of it, to me, it all looked just as staged as the rest of the show. You know, you had the tanks, the pyrotechnics. It just looked like one big theatrical event. And
exactly, Mr. Spurgeon's prophecy coming true. Instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, we're going to have clowns entertaining the goats.
Yeah. If anyone was like Driscoll, he spent, what was it, something like $11,000, wasn't it, of church funds to bump his book up on the bestseller list? Yep. If he's going to do that, he'll stoop to any tactic.
Yep.
Well, what they're saying is as much as $200,000 was misappropriated.
Right.
Oh, and I just wanted to mention a comment, too, that somebody posted in the Rumble chat, which I definitely want to check out, too. They've told us that Jack Hibbs did a video this week saying that Mike Johnson is doing God's will.
Whoa.
Mike Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaker Mike Johnson.
Yeah, Franklin Graham said the same thing, that he likes them.
This is crazy stuff. But another, just to finish up, Jacob, the IHOP KC in Kansas City is closing down. They're becoming a mission organization now. I don't know what that even means, because of all the scandals and all the problems with Mike Bickle.
In order to limit lawsuits for sexual predatory actions of the leadership, they don't want to do it, so they're closing it down and making it a non-entity and reinventing itself and redefining itself and rebranding itself for legal purposes.
Another sexual issue. Yep.
They're turning over the money to the next organization. They can just run it on out.
Yeah. Scandal hemorrhaging $500,000 a month. Unbelievable. And this is why, you know, it's such an outrage. I think Christians should have such an outrage of what's going on within Christianity, within the church, whether it's called false church or not, under the name of Christ. When persecution starts, and you've seen it, you've seen the video, you see over and over, we try to tell everybody about this, the church becomes now sexual predators and moral, and now discussing about gay theology and all this stuff. And the closer we get to the return of Jesus and what's going on, you could see how apostasy setting in. And my dear friends, apostasy, what the Bible speaks about apostasy, it's a lot more than what you and I think. It's a powerful thing, and it's going to get into your church. If you let it happen, it's going to get into your church. It's going to get into your family. It's going to get into pastors. It's going to get into leaders. And God forbid it gets into your heart, but we need to pray. We need to seek God's word and seek God's face. We need to seek each other fellowship and continue on in God's word and being faithful to it and obedient to it, because we are going to be in that situation where Paul speaks about, that the apostasy comes first. And it's already happening to a large extent among the evangelical churches, which, again, the government actually says it out loud, the evangelicals, these call them whatever, political Christians or right-wing Christians or whatever they call it, are the hurdle, or the obstacle, I should say, to their agenda, to their agenda. So the church, instead of being salt and light and proclaiming the gospel and Jesus returning, it's actually getting into gay theology, strip clubs, and promoting false teachers.
And false prophecy, like the stupid eclipse being a harbinger of doom.
Yeah.
I mean, blood moons, and every time there's something natural happen, they think it's supernatural.
Everything but the word. Everything
and the word of God.
Credit Christianity, that's why. And they're promoted because they do discredit Christianity when they say ridiculous things like the eclipse is somehow related to the Bible.
Yeah, that's what we should be outraged, but we also need to make sure that we, you know, continue on in the faith and encourage people. Get them Bible studies, get into fellowship, and get into God's word. Go hear Jacob. If you're in Jamaica, go hear Jay. If you're in the Philippines and Thailand and all that area, go hear David. And in Australia, we're waiting for Jacob to come. We've got good fellowship there, here in Southern California as well. And that's the real solution. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And what did Paul say? He says, you have to have brotherly love. Yes. You have to have brotherly love. You have to cling to what is good and abhor evil. That's the truth of a Christian, is to abhor evil. To love the truth, to love each other, but definitely hold on to it and to abhor evil. Yeah. Yes. So we're going to be going to. Yeah, go ahead, Jacob.
Looming, Marcus, sorry to interrupt. With persecution looming, the things we see happening in the juridical and political sphere are being demonically or even satanically orchestrated to be used eventually against saved Christians. The whole January 6th fiasco and the corruption and holding people without bail by liberal left-wing radical judges and prosecutors, the corruption is unbelievable.
Right-wing, Bush appointees and Reagan appointees.
Yes, I always said Reagan was no good in the judges he appointed. But anyway, Sandra Day O'Connor, et cetera. But be that as it may, I usually agree with Tucker Carlson, but sometimes I don't. But he did an excellent interview this week with a journalist called Julie Kelly. She has done the most extensive investigative journalism on January 6th. You can see it on the internet. And I would suggest people listen to the interview with Julie Kelly. If anyone doubts that democracy is a thing of the past, listen to that interview. These laws are going to be used against Christians. Lawlessness is going to be used against Christians.
Jesus said, he's going to put you before judges and before kings. And don't worry about what you say, because I'll give it to you in that hour, and it will be of the Holy Spirit. You know, so he tells us these things in advance so that we might know he is God. And we have a strong foundation. And if you hold on to him, the worst thing this world can do is send us to eternity a little bit earlier.
Yep.
I guess, Jacob, the whole point that we're waiting for this 2024 election to take back our country, and Christians are going to supporting this, and we're going to be back to Christianity in this whole aspect of, you know, post-millennialism, we're going to triumph over this. I guess we're not going to wait for the 2024 election, because even Republicans now, even the ones we think are going to be voting for them to get us out of this mess, are the ones taking us in.
Even if Donald Trump wins, and I don't think it's certain at this point that he will, because of corruption and so forth, and I don't think God's hand is on him again anymore because of some of the compromises he's made.
Yep.
But even if he wins, don't put your hope on any government or politician. Pray for them. And obviously, I don't want Biden or anybody like this to be reelected, but it is possible that neither Biden nor Trump will actually be the next president. That is possible.
Or to even have an election.
Because of the politically motivated prosecutions of Trump, which are outrageous, and because of the senility of Biden, it's not unthinkable that neither one of them will be the next president.
Yep, absolutely right. All right, well, let's go to backstage. We got some questions. join us on backstage. We're not going to be on YouTube or Facebook. We're going to jump right into Rumble. We're taking questions on Rumble, and we're going to take some questions for Jay Kaprash. And you're watching Catching Up. We'll see you in just a few minutes. So jump over to the other side too, backstage, and you'll hear some of the questions there. So we got some good questions today. So God bless you guys. We'll see you in a few minutes. All right, welcome to Backstage, the part of the show that our tech overlords do not want us to talk about. And we got some great questions with Jay Kaprash. We got Davey, we got David, we got Jay from Jamaica. So let's get started. Does anyone have a short understanding of Orthodox Chabad Jewish beliefs? Jacob.
Yeah, they believe the Messiah has not yet come. They believe the Messiah is going to come. And there's a schism within their own movement. Some of them believe a Messiah is coming. Some of them believe that their late rabbi, Menachem Schneerson, who died and was buried in Queens, and they have a 24/7 vigil at his grave, is the Messiah, and he's going to raise from the dead. That is their belief. They are extremely anti-Messianic, anti-Jewish believer against Messianic Jews in terms of radical activism. They're often associated with things like not so much Yad Lachim, although there is a connection tenuously, but with Operation Judaism. So they're very opposed to Jewish believers in Yeshua. They believe that the Messiah is coming, but some of them, they have a split. Some of them believe that Schneerson is the Messiah, and he's going to raise from the dead. Others are not saying that. The other thing to remember about all Hasidic sects, be it Lubavitch, their Chabad, or be it Setmar, or be it Belz, or Babov, or Vishnitz, or any of them, or Gur, or any of them, they're all Kabbalists. They all practice the occult. They are not based on Torah. They're based more on Zohar and Talmud. It is mystical interpretation of the scriptures that formulates their doctrine. They're into mysticism and the occult, the Kabbalah. Zohar is their guidebook to reading scripture, as well as the other rabbinic traditions and Talmudic literature. So they're so far away from the word of God, you're hard-pressed to call it Judaism. Mm. They do.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Jacob. If a Jew, when he or she accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is called by some a completed Jew, would it be considered correct or incorrect to call Christianity completed Judaism? If not, where does the difference lie?
Okay, Jews are the natural branches. The new covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, according to Jeremiah 31:31 and Romans chapter 9, verse 4. The new covenant was made with Israel and the Jews. They're the natural branches of the church. Jesus fulfills the Torah. That's where the idea of a completed Jew, completed Judaism. The Messiah represents the completion, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That is where it comes from. Non-Jews are grafted in by faith. Non-Jews are grafted into this covenant relationship by faith, but Jews are the natural branches of it. This does not mean that Jewish believers have a special status. A branch is a branch, a believer is a believer. They're co-equal in Christ in terms of their salvation and their status and their stature. But the believing Jews are the natural branches, and the new covenant was made with them.
All right, very good. Jacob, Acts 2:17 speaks of sons and daughters shall prophesy in the last days. Is the word prophesy from here on equal to preaching? And also, are there some who teach that this verse actually initiates and allows women to preach?
No, prophesying means proclaiming God's word. But we have to understand the difference between the prophetic in the terms of the gift of prophecy and the prophetic in the terms of proclamation. When we say that the Bible says certain events are going to happen, that is prophetic. But that is not the same as the gift of prophecy when the Holy Spirit is speaking through an individual. In the book of Acts, it entails both, but it does mean there is prophecy. Women can have prophetic gifts. There can be female prophetesses, yes. As far as the preaching element, women may teach other women. Women may teach other women. Let the older women teach the younger, Paul says. Nobody says women can't be teachers, as long as their head is covered. as long as they're under the male leadership of the church and they're teaching other women. This is not, however, to say that women cannot give their testimony, share testimonies, or preach the gospel. It is when you get into the realm of expounding doctrine, it becomes an issue. Women may expound doctrine to other women. But there are people who have the gift of prophecy who are males, and there are people with the gift of prophecy who are females. That is the meaning of Acts.
All right. It comes
from the book of Joel, chapter 2, by the way.
Yes, so Joel 2.
Yeah.
You can read about that in Acts 2. In Revelation 5, Jacob, verses 8 and 10, the 24 elders are kings and priests who are they seated in heaven prior to the rapture after the sixth seal. This seems to contradict Hebrews 5 through 7.
Give me the initial verse again. Hebrews.
Revelation 5, 8 through 10.
Okay.
The 24 elders.
Yeah, the 24 elders. And well, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls filled with our prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. And thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. Thou hast made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God." Let's break this down. The 24 elders first appear, okay, in chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 10. There are some people, particularly pre-tribulation people, who try to say this is the church in heaven. Nowhere is 24 ever associated symbolically in biblical typology or numerical reference as representative of the church. The numbers associated with the church in the book of Revelation are seven, not 24, okay? 12 and its multiples are nations, peoples, tribes, and tongues, okay? To the best of my understanding, these 24 elders are the 12 patriarchs of Israel, the sons of Jacob for each tribe, and the 12 apostles, 12 and 12. The apostles will judge the tribes of Israel. It's the 12 and the 12. It's not all the believers in heaven, 24 representing millions of people. No, it's 24 literally. One interpretation of the four living creatures or the Gospels. That is one interpretation, and it is a viable proposition to say that. Okay, but now let's look at the rest of the text of chapter 5 of Revelation. They say that Jesus is worthy to break the seal, okay? That he's the one who's worthy to break the seal, okay? Having each one a harp, with the prayers of the saints and the incense and so forth. They sang a new song, okay? "Worthy art thou to take the book and break its seal," the scroll, Megillah would be a scroll, "for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation." Hence, you have the association of the 12 and its multiples, the 24. You understand? The 24. While the 12 tribes of 12 princes of Israel were for Israel and the Jews, Jesus told the apostles from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So the other 12 are universal. The gospel was for to the ends of the earth, beginning with the Jews, but then to the ends of the earth. Hence, you have an association with multiples of people with the number 12 and its multiple is double 24. "Who has made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God." That is not talking about the specific role of the 24. It's talking about saved believers. We are a kingdom of priests, and we are, according to Peter, to see ourselves that way. We are priests because we bring sacrifice and praise to the Lord and present ourselves as a living sacrifice. A priest is one who brings a sacrifice, okay? The other is kings. Now, under the law, kings had to be descendants of David. Priests had to be descendants of Aaron, one from the tribe of Judah, the other the tribe of Levi. Only the Messiah, as I've explained before, can be both king and priest. In Christ, we are all kings and we are all priests. Only Jesus is our high priest, and he's the King of Kings, the Melech HaMelechim. So making them a kingdom of priests is not talking about the 24. It's talking about all the saved who will be in heaven. We are a kingdom of priests, with Christ as the high priest and as the King of Kings. It's not limiting the role of the royal role and the priestly role to the 24. They are a vehicle to encompass all of us in it. Does that explain it?
I think so. I think the confusion, and I'm not saying that this is what this person is saying, but since obviously they're not here, because they're saying that the priest, the elders start claiming to be priests and kings.
Doesn't say that. The text does not say that.
I think the confusion is, Jacob, in the New King James Version, it literally says, "And you have made us kings and priests to our God." In the NASB that you read, it says, "You made them kings and priests to our God."
I'll have to read that in.
No. Yeah, I think this requires a little bit more.
If you give me a moment, I can get it in Greek, but you have to give me a moment.
Let's tackle that at another time, because we got to move on to the other question.
Don't mind looking up the Greek, but I don't want to say without reading the Greek.
Very good. Next question. Doug Wilson, Christ Church, and Joel Webben and Covenant Bible Church, and Jeff Durbin of Apologia and James White Church. What are the thoughts on these Calvinistic churches building Christian national communities like Moscow, Idaho, Georgetown, Texas, and Mesa, Arizona? I guess they're building communities, Christian communities in these areas based on Calvinistic churches, like Covenant Bible churches.
Yeah, the Puritans tried to do that in England and in Salem, Massachusetts, and look what happened. Calvinism is wrong, and extreme Calvinism is very wrong. James White is a man who has done as much harm as he has good. Be careful of James White. He does not have doctoral level Greek. I knew that from my online back and forth with him. He says he has two doctorates. Neither one of them are accredited. Now, why would somebody going around claiming to have a doctorate, not once but twice, when neither one of them are even real doctorates? He has done some good work. His book on King James Only was a good book, and I've said so. But he is a Calvinist. And when he tried to debate and defend Calvinism, he became absurd in what he was saying. It was all double talk. I am not a fan or devotee of James White, even though I do acknowledge he has done some good work and said some true things. I would not in any way endorse anything or any ministry he's associated with. And be careful of Calvinistic communities. That was Calvin's Geneva. They burned people. That is what happened in Cromwell's England. That is what happened in Salem, Massachusetts. His kingdom is not of this world. Remember, the first Reconstructionists in Protestantism were Calvinists trying to establish a political dominion or something of this nature. Now, I'm not saying that they're trying to politicize it, but I do not believe what they believe about election. God does not create people to go to hell.
Yeah, very good. Davey, I think the Doug Wilson and Jeff Durbin, we talked about him here on the post, when we talked about postmillennialism, and they're very big on this triumphant type of theology, optimistic theology, they call it, that eventually we will win on the earth and then Jesus will come back. Yeah,
started working because they're doing a terrible job thus far.
Yeah. Doug Wilson, I think, is a dangerous man. Where they attract a lot of people is people see the craziness of the you know, some of the stuff that's passing itself off for prophecy and all the rest of it. So people and the you know, hyper charismania, so they swing to the other side, they go to the ultra reformed, the ultra Calvinistic, but that's just as dangerous, if not worse. Look, I've actually seen it destroy lives, I've seen it destroy families. I've actually literally seen, you know, people take their lives because of the damage that this kind of thing does. It's Islamic in nature. Jacob did a teaching years ago called The Twin Pillars of Madness,
yes,
which I highly recommend. Jacob was spot on there. Douglas Wilson, they have an outward appearance of holiness. I hate using it, even that word, associating with what they do. It's not. It's just a self-righteousness that they've got. It's not true biblical holiness. It is rotten to the core. And Douglas Wilson's camp, his little Geneva, well, rumors are, look, it's full of sexual abuse, abuses against women. The people who have come out of it can tell you how it's wrecked their families, wrecked their lives.
Very good. Thank you, Davey. Thank you, Davey. Next question. Why have churches promoted divorce over the Word of God? Why do believers think divorce is supreme?
If they believe the Word of God, they wouldn't. When people don't believe the Word of God or try to circumvent what it says, there's something wrong with their relationship with the Lord. It is a manifestation of some kind of backsliding.
Jacob, what is that teaching you did on when marriage...
When Christian marriage fails, yes.
Yeah, that's a good sermon on that that probably they would enjoy.
Also, it's written. It's printed. It's available in printed form.
What was the title again?
When Christian Marriage Fails.
Okay.
Well, Once Christian Marriage Fails, yeah.
Yeah, Once Christian Marriage Fails, that's it. So,
all right, Jacob, if a wife or husband rejects wanting to be married after abuse or drugs or gambling and adultery, what is right in Jesus' eyes? I think it's
last resorts for Christians who are incompatible or in relationships that have gone unrepentantly into the areas of some kind of abuse or something like that. The last resort of last resorts is separation with the door left open to reconciliation, repentance and reconciliation, not divorce. Divorce is specifically and only for when there is adultery, porneia, sexual immorality that is not repented of. Other than that, there's no biblical grounds for divorce. Now, if they leave you and go off with someone, that's something different. You can look at that case. But incompatibility and don't forget, abused. There are men who are abused. The book of Proverbs speaks of this. It's better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house with a contentious, nagging woman. I mean, abuse takes different forms. You know what I'm saying? Or like a dripping faucet, a woman who will nag and nag and nag until she gets her husband to explode, and then she becomes the victim. Relationships like that, marriages like that break down. But those things are not grounds for divorce and remarriage. Not.
Very good. Very good, Jacob. There seems to be a bit of confusion about the red heifers, Jacob. According to the Mishnah, Torah, Para Aduma 3:4, the Messiah is going to bring the 10th heifer. How does this add up with the current heifers?
Again, these things are rabbinic inventions. They're not from the Torah itself. The halakhic applications, like the one you just said, state that there could be no more than 2 non-red hairs anywhere on the body of that. All these kind of things are not found in scripture. We can be sure that the Orthodox will try to find a way to make the red heifers compliant with their rabbinic requirements. Not to be confused with the requirements of God.
That's right. All right. Jacob, how is the migration not the iron mixing with the clay?
I can rephrase the question, please.
How is the migration not the iron mixing with the clay? I think it's probably worded wrongly, but I think it's talking about the
Daniel 2 tried to combine in the seeds of men. Multiculturalism is what it's talking about. Forced multiculturalism along the lines of what the ancient Roman Empire tried to do with religious integration, with pantheism, with pantheism.
Yeah.
And multi-ethnicism, try to bring about a social cohesion within the Roman Empire with a political aim. What you saw in the Roman Empire is what's going to be recapitulated in the kingdom of Antichrist. Now, there's more to it than this, because it will involve political nations that will not adhere to one another. Iron does not combine with clay. These nations will not fit together. Antichrist will try to force it. One way to understand how this is going to happen is something like under Stalin. When you had communism, communist dictatorship and totalitarianism under Stalin and Sovietism, all of these nations that you had, Muslim nations in Central Asia, Kazakhstan and so forth, and you had the Ukraine, which is a Slavic nation, but not Russia, and then Russia, and then the Baltic states, Lithuania and Estonia, you know, and Latvia. Well, and then you got Muslim countries like Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. What made held them together? The iron fist of Stalin and Sovietism, okay? Mm-hmm. What made Yugoslavia hold together, six different countries? The iron fist of communist totalitarianism under Tito, okay? Once Sovietism went, once Tito went, once it went, these nations fragmented. They try to force an artificial union, but these artificial unions never last. The only way that kind of multi-ethnic union between nation states has lasted when they had a common faith, a common Christian faith. In Great Britain, that is now post-Christian, neo-pagan, and increasingly becoming Islamic, the United Kingdom is breaking up. You've got Scottish independence, Irish, Northern Irish has its own Stormont Parliament. The Welsh have their own parliament. The UK is breaking up. Why? Because Protestantism is dead. It's spiritually and morally dead. So therefore the political union that it engendered is fragmenting and breaking up. You cannot force these nations together in a unity. The only unity that's going to come about among nations is when Christ returns, and he will rule all of them with a rod of iron.
All right, very good. Jacob, just a few more. If we warn family members of false teachers that they watch and they reject the warning, do we continue to warn them or just stop?
It's like witnessing to an unsaved relative. There gets to be a point where you tell them everything you can tell them, and all you can do is pray. If the situation emerges and the Lord prompts you to bring it up again, by all means, do so. But you reach a point where you've told them all you can tell them, and all you can really do is pray, unless the occasion emerges and the Lord leads to bring it up again. Now, what will happen sometimes is you'll be vindicated by fact. Things will happen with these false teachers. Remember, I told you Benny Hinn was no good. Remember, I told you this. Now you see what I was telling you. Not because I'm right, but because the word of God is right and you are not following the word of God. That can happen. But remember, very often when people are deceived, they're not just unsaved people. They're willfully blind. They're not just blind. They are willfully blind. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. Now, it's bad enough when unsaved people are like that. When Christians are like that, there's something very, very wrong. And that can be our families.
Okay, very good, Jacob. Jacob, will you ever come to Kansas, please?
I've only traveled through Kansas. I've never been to Kansas. I always wanted to see Dodge City. I'm told it's just a tourist trap, nothing much to see there. And Abilene and Lawrence, Kansas, where the Civil War was with Quantrill and that. There's a few things in Kansas that interest me, but I've only traveled through it by train or whatever. I've never actually been to it. If I had a viable invitation from a church or fellowship to come to Kansas and they contacted Moriel in America, I would prayerfully consider it.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Davey, if we know who sent that question, can you ask him to follow up with us? Because if they belong to a fellowship or some kind of Bible study group or anything like that, then we can look at it and organize it if that's where the Lord wants us to go through. So I appreciate that. One more, Jacob, and then we're done. What's the difference in Zionist between the difference between Zionists and Jews? We know Jesus says that they think they are Jews, but are not. Which one is Jesus speaking of?
I don't understand the question. Please read it again.
Yeah, I'll read it again. What's the difference in, it's badly worded, but I'm just trying to put the words together. What's the difference, I guess, between Zionist Jew and a regular Jew? And we know Jesus said they think that they're Jews, but are not.
Okay, there are two different issues. Yeah. A Zionist is a Jew who believes in the reestablishment of national Israel and its preservation. There are Zionists who are not Jewish. There are Christians who are Zionists. Some of the first Zionists were Christian. In fact, there were Christians who were supporting Herzl and Zionism before most rabbis did. Most rabbis opposed Zionism initially. So you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist by any means. You have ultra-Orthodox Hasidic sects like the Setmar that are anti-Zionist. You've got rabbis who are anti-Zionist. Not many, fortunately, but they exist. So Zionism is one thing. You do not have to necessarily be a Jew to be a Zionist, although most Jews are at least nominally Zionistic. As far as Jews and are not Jews, this has a compound meaning. In its use in the book of Revelation, it meant in the seven churches, I think Philadelphia is one of them, where you had unbelieving Jews persecuting believing Jews.
That's right.
It's what Moses talked about, those who were circumcised yet uncircumcised. They were circumcised genitally, but they did not have circumcision of the heart. Jew, being a Jew, was a member of ethnic and cultural identity, not a personal faith or not a faith in God or belief in the Torah and the scriptures. They were Jews culturally, they were Jews ethnically, they were Jews culturally, but in the eyes of God, they may as well have been a pagan. They didn't really believe in the faith of their fathers. In the New Testament era, this becomes Jews who reject their Messiah and persecute Jews who accept him. They're Jews, but are not Jews. Now, that principle, however, I would say extends to those who say they are Christians, but are not Christians. Of the 2 billion or so people in the world professing to be Christians, how many are truly born again? That's the same thing.
The same. Very good. Thank you, Jacob. And that's all the time we have for the questions. So we'll save a couple of ones that came in a little bit later. Dave, if you can just make a note of those so we can ask them next week, priority. So thank you guys so much for being with us. Jacob, thank you so much. I know you're in New York. Not as late for you as it normally is in the UK, but we appreciate you staying up, and you got a lot of teaching over the next few months, but especially this weekend. Jay, thank you so much for being with us from Kingston. May the Lord bless you and make your preaching anointed by the Spirit and reach the hearts of many there through the gospel. David, keep preaching Jesus. Keep preaching Amen. Jesus in a difficult
what
place.
What else is there to do? Time is growing short.
Yeah, Amen. That's right. That's right. And Davey, keep up holding the faith, brother, there, and strengthen the brothers that they can do it too. They can walk with Jesus like you do. So thank you guys, everyone else that's watching live and those who watch later. Thank you so much for being with us, catching up with Jacob backstage. All the good stuff. You heard a lot today. And I don't want you to leave discouraged and thinking, woe is me, look at the world and all that stuff. David, listen, would you close us out today, give a word of encouragement? Because people would be like, well, what's who to trust? We can't trust Mike Johnson, the government, the false teachers, the world, this and that. And it almost leaves you hopeless, but there's always hope in Jesus Christ. Go ahead, brother.
Absolutely. You know, every time you study prophecy, we look at the world, you know, and when Jesus tells us the signs, wars, rumored war, famine, et cetera, you know, yeah, you, and our souls are vexed, yes, because the world is in this condition and we're seeing our loved ones go off and things like that. But you have to turn that coin over and look at the other side and remember all the promises that God has promised. You know, you just Google all the promises of God, put those in your mind, and it'll be renewed. It'll be washed. and you'll start thinking about eternity. You'll think no more tears, no more sorrow. You'll be with your loved ones that died in Christ. All these wonderful things, and we'll get to see the new heaven and the new earth, and be with Him forever. So we have. I like what Jacob said one time. You know, if you're a believer and you're getting close to the end of your life, you have so much more to look forward to. But if you're older and you're not in Christ, well, you don't have much to look forward to. For us, we have a lot to look forward to. The eye is not seen, the ear is not heard for right. the thing God has in store for us. So just remember, we're going to be with Him. And we're going to be with Him forever. And this place is passing away. We look at it as a place of sin and death, but it's passing away. And we are going to live forever. So hold on to them promises. Go back and reread them if you're getting down. If your soul's heavy, reread them again and again.
Amen.
Get this thing cleaned up in here.
Remember, we get this place. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're taking over. When Jesus comes back, under His lordship, we're going to be calling the shots, not the powers that be at present. Satan's right. kingdom is falling down. The meek shall inherit the earth. And that is before eternity, when things get really good.
Yeah.
As David said, if you're in Christ, the older you get, the more you have to live for. If you're not in Christ, the older you get, the less you have to live for.
Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you, David, Jay, Davey, Jacob. Every blessing to everyone who's watching. We'll watch later. Keep preaching Jesus. He's coming soon. God bless Amen. Everyone.